What's up, everyone? This is Jay, aka Brother Silk, welcoming you to what hopefully is not the last British Soap podcast, because, you know, World War III is near, and that's all we're going to say about that. We have decided before the show. Jesus Christ. I am here with my new wife, my lifelong partner in crime, because love is like a circle. It never has an end. The Olivia to my Vincent. What's going on, new wifey? Livesy Amanda.
Oh my God.
How are you feeling? Are you still feeling all warm and cuddly over our new love, our new commitments?
New? I'm like new.
our new commitments. We just married, you know, 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's like we've had two weddings in about a 10-day period. One of them was great, and one of them wasn't.
I mean,
and
we didn't get married twice.
That was the good one.
No. I'm focusing on us. No. We did not get married twice. Are you feeling warm and fuzzy over our recent wedding with the formerly married minister officiating our ceremony?
It was cute. I enjoyed it. It was definitely something that I wasn't initially expecting. But, you know, at the same time, it was just like, okay, let's rush into something and see what happens. And I'm kind of curious to see how it goes.
I mean, I've loved you for a long time. I mean, I stood behind you when the whole town thought you had murdered Ben. I stuck behind you when you were drinking all the alcohol, even though my mama was like, forget Liv. My heart was there for you. And I know that's why you agreed to marry me, right?
It was indeed. Yes, it was.
So how long do you think we're going to have to keep this marriage a secret from Chaz and Mandy, because you know, they like the whole engagement party thing.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think that's gonna last very long. I think Laurel's gonna blab. I think someone's gonna blab, and it's gonna be one of the three people who know about it. So. Well, I'm kind of curious to see how it goes.
I hope that it all comes out at the engagement party, because everyone will already be there for the engagement party, so then they might as well celebrate that we're already married.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, like, they could always get the pastor to come through and do a wedding with everybody if they do the engagement party.
I mean, but
they figure out that they're married and everything anyway.
I mean, Mina will have killed him by then, so he's going to be a non-issue.
Oh, that's bullshit. You know it.
Yes. Bullshit with regards to that minister? Yes, that's exactly what I feel is going on with him right now. My goodness. Yes, it has been an interesting couple of weeks on Emmerdale, and I am looking forward to talking to it. So we are going to get right into it. So I'm going to say up front, if you have any questions about the British soaps, or there's something that we did not talk about today, or that we do not talk about today, that you would have liked us to have discussed, head over to britishsoappodcast.tumblr.com to shoot us an ask, or hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast. My new wife, I'm going to start with you. You watched 3 weeks worth of Emmerdale, or more. I don't know how much we watched, but
about a day and a half period.
Yes. So tell your new husband and all of our listening members of the congregation what Emmerdale did to make you say, "What in the hell?" Cops of Emmerdale, Priest of Emmerdale, Mina, Dawn, Billy.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, God.
I don't even have to say what it is. You pretty much mentioned everything in one fell swoop. The entire wedding and the aftermath of the wedding between Dawn and Billy was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, who goes around and sings oldies in the back of a car dancing like an idiot really, really loud while having Billy trapped in the trunk, their six-year-old son trapped in the playhouse being told that he was going to suffocate after Earth, he was going to get stuff if he was a good boy, if he stayed in the house long enough, and you know, I was just like, dude, no, not, The only good thing about the aftermath of the wedding was Liam pushing her off that bridge.
All praises to
Liam. But I mean, and all praises to Liam Kavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. I love that man. But, but yeah, it's just like everything about that wedding was absolute garbage. I mean, like, they had like the smallest wedding. There was only like 5 people there. I understand it was just family and friends and stuff, but again, they have more friends than just Marlon, Marlon, Lucas, Harriet, and the priest.
But I mean, baby girl, you know the real on that. It wasn't because of family and friends. It was because of COVID. That's all that was about. So that was just COVID spacing. Yep.
Yeah, and you know there was Ellis leaving, and Ellis couldn't be the best man at that ridiculous flipping bachelor party. And then, I mean, everything leading up and everything after was just so bad. It's just like, it went back to the reason why I couldn't binge watch Emmerdale for so long. I sat there, and I was bored out of my mind and almost fast-forwarded through the entire week of my birthday. And I'm just like, yeah, no. The only good episode was my birthday where Mina almost died.
So, I'm gonna take, because I've got like 9 what the hells this week. So I'm going to take the 3 of those that cover the time period that you discuss. So I will say I didn't think it was an uninteresting week. The week starting with, you know, Mina in a church by herself at night, giving a performance that showed the full and true meaning of chewing the scenery. That girl, amen. I mean,
no pun intended.
Dun, 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 the village bike takes the village idiots. What? What are you saying in the back? What?
It was like split personality. I hope they're not gonna try to like do an insanity plea with her or something.
There was just no. There was no need for any of that. No, all that. And so she does all that foolishness in the church to let the audience think, oh, Billy and Dawn are going to be walking down the aisle, and then here comes Mina with her gun, and no, it's Priya, late. Okay.
Yep.
And really, what's going to happen is this chick has decided to rent a huge limo to knock Billy out. Get Dawn stupid behind.
Layla actually got the limo. She just attacked the guy who was driving it and stole it.
No, she's doing all this dramatic stuff at the church to only get them in the limo, drive them to a bridge where they had 20,000 opportunities to knock the gun out of Mina's hand, to kick Mina, to push Mina while her back was turned, to grab Mina's hand when she was distracted. Billy towers over Mina. Dawn towers over Mina. There were times in that exchange when Mina was turned one way, looking at Dawn. Billy was behind her. He could have taken two big steps, grabbed that girl by the hand, yanked the hand up, knocked the gun out of her hand, thrown her over the damn bridge. Did we get any of that? Now, we got them ignoring every single opportunity to get the gun away from Mina when all they had to do is, like, hit her with a feather and she would have been knocked out. I was just like, what?
Every she ended time, up shooting Layla. I'm just like, dude.
Every single time, I was just like, what are y'all doing? She's got the gun pointed at Dawn. Billy is behind her. And he's acting like he's frozen in place. I was like, Billy, it ain't freeze tag, bro. Would you go grab the gun out of that girl's hand? What are you doing? It was so insane.
Well, to be fair, Brody did the exact same thing.
Who?
On Hollyoaks.
No. We're talking about Emmerdale. Yes. No. It was insane.
Same exact thing.
It was insane. We're not doing this. Thing. It was insane. I was like, what are y'all doing? There was at least five times. I'm just like, why have they not gotten the gun? And the first time, it was like, why haven't they gotten the gun? Then the second time, no, seriously, why haven't they gotten the gun? Then the third, why? Like, no. And then I'm like screaming, this is the perfect time to get the gun. Why are you not getting the gun? Layla should never have been shot. There was no need for that. There was no need for that. If one of those idiots had gotten the gun from her, those two could have bum-rushed her at the same time. Okay, maybe one of them would have gotten shot. The other one would have gotten the gun. They could have turned the gun on Mina and killed Mina and put her out of her misery and the audience out of our collective misery. But instead, we're going to stand there and play freeze tag.
Pretty much, yeah.
Until Layla's shot, then all of a sudden we remember how to move. I was like, what? It was so stupid.
And then they realized that she wasted all the bullets trying to shoot her.
It was so stupid. It was so stupid.
And I was just like, so it takes you now to throw a now empty gun over a bridge? Thanks.
Okay, and then, so Dawn and Billy finally have Mina KO'd on the ground, and they're all happy. And then Mina's all, you can't kill me, because if you kill me, you'll never see your son again.
Very, very mustache twirly villain-like.
Okay. I'm like, I like the Lucas recast as a cute kid, but who gives a fuck, right? Like, whatever, we can sacrifice him. He's never on screen anyway. Nobody cares. Like, most people probably don't even realize he's been recast, right? So I'm just like, okay.
You know, like Laurel's kid there.
So
her son was recast, but that's beside the point.
You know, Lucas is supposedly suffocating, and the only way for Dawn to get there is to run to you like Whitney Houston. So she runs all the way to this house and she sees Harriet, who she already knows is on the floor knocked out because Mina has shown her a picture. So she runs all the way to the house. Harriet is on the floor knocked out. And Dawn is screaming to an unconscious Harriet, where's Lucas? Where did Mina take Lucas? Mina knocked her out. Do you think Mina knocked her out and then said, oh, by the way, I'm taking Lucas to the little shed thing in the back and I'm going to lie to... She was knocked out. How the hell she was going to know where Mina took Lucas? And I was like, where did Mina take Lucas? I know you're knocked out, but I'm going to scream, where did Mina take Lucas?
Yeah, and then she miraculously wakes up and says she took him. How do you know she took him?
Well, I mean, that was more understandable. I mean, she ain't not gonna knock Mina up. She not gonna knock Harriet out there. Not to kidding. Yeah. But I mean, she's not gonna give. She couldn't have pulled up Google Maps and been like, "Ooh, look, here's her itinerary. Go find him." You know, it was so stupid. And then what's Dawn end up doing? Standing outside, screaming, "Lucas, Lucas!" And Lucas is like, "I'm here, Mom. Do I get a prize for being quiet now?" What? No. Okay, then we get the best of the best. Liam finds this heifer.
Yes!
Liam realizes what this heifer done did, and Liam is over it. So he decides to be farmer in the dale. He's got his pitchfork, and he's ready to stab this little heifer upside the neck, and I'm ready to see it. But then, of course, he pulls a Billy and throws the pitchfork over the bridge for no reason. And then the thing that pisses him off and turns him around is Mina saying, "I enjoy killing Leanna. I think about it a lot. It delights me." And Liam's like, "Really? Won't you have a little show?"
Well, this is going to delight me.
You know, knocks her right off and leaves her right where Leanna was to die. And it was my what the hell regarding the situation. So then here comes man Preet Sabals. He's like, "Liam, you ain't going down for this. Fuck this girl. I don't give a fuck. That bitch kept me hostage. She's supposed to be my sister, and she ain't have no sisterly loyalty to me. So you know what? Fuck her. She tried to attack you. You pushed that hoe for self-defense. That's what I'm going to say." Liam's like, "Cool." And then what does happen? Mina wakes the fuck up. She survives. She tells the police, "Liam attacks me." And then what do we get? The police arresting Liam. This heifer done murdered four people, held two people hostage prior to this day, held Don and Billy hostage, knocked Harriet upside the goddamn head. But these dumbass cops are going to go and arrest Liam and leave Mina, not handcuffed, I don't think, in the hospital, and just for the start of this, you know, shift to Law and Order Emmerdale, they're just going to focus on interrogating Liam and Manpreet, because, you know, two doctors are worthy of the most intense interrogation, but you know, a serial killer that has assaulted a police officer. Oh, we don't give a fuck about her.
Uh-uh.
I was like, what? What? So much stupid in that week. I mean, it was interesting, but so much of it was stupid. It was stupid. I was screaming at my television. It was so stupid. You know what I said after watching that? I said that the showdown with Billy and Dawn and Mina, I felt like that was the height of the stupidity. And what I felt after watching that foolishness and them refusing to knock the gun out of Mina's hands 17 different times is that is the stupidest thing I have seen on soap operas in the past year. And I'm including seeing Marlena Evans levitate above her bed after being possessed by the devil.
But that's always fun. That's fun, stupid.
Billy and Dawn were stupider than that. You hear what I'm saying? Just ridiculous.
Marlena floating over the bed after being possessed by the devil was meant to be funny, stupid.
Come on now. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
That was just flat out dumb.
Stupid. Totally agree. So excellent. What the hell? I was screaming at my television. I could not. It was stupid. It was stupid. It was stupid.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. I seriously almost fast-forwarded through that entire week. It was just like, "Oh, we're getting married on Valentine's Day." My eyes rolled.
Such a mess. Did you have any other what the hells for the Emmerdale?
Jay being Edgar. We have to include your namesake in here somewhere.
Oh, God. He was stupid, too.
Jay being the smart and intelligent man that he is, after realizing that he couldn't get a loan himself, decided to steal all of Laurel's details and get a $50,000 loan out for himself to pay off the fine that he needed. And now he's going around everywhere, including his own house, trying to sell it so that he can pay Laurel back and win their house back so that Kim doesn't have to sell it because she needs the money to pay for the bar that she has that charity and Ryan paid for. This is flippin' ridiculous. I mean, yes, I'm glad that, you know, Charity bought the Wolfpack. That's great. But this has all turned into a giant whirlwind of ridiculousness, starting with the whole thing with the fine at the for the thing or for the accident, and then you have Jay taking the money out, and I'm just like, dude, no. You're an idiot. You just lost the best thing that made you. It's just like, I kind of liked Jay and Laurel. They had a thing, and then they had this cute connection that made me kind of like Jay, the smallest, tiniest little bit. And then he had to go and ruin it by basically ruining Laurel's credit by putting a loan for $50,000 and then using it all immediately so that everything could be paid off. And then now she can't get her family home paid for, so she's going to have to move out and live in the tiny little place with Nicola and her giant brood. So there you go. Have fun with that. I'm just like, dude, no. Out. So Jay's a dumbass.
Yes, he is. And don't leave out the fact that he was trying to do some... Because, of course, we have to have the resurrection of Jay as a cokehead story, because that is...
Yep, I bought some drugs. Oh, boo-hoo. Yep, there we go.
Yeah, I don't believe that Jay wasn't high when he was talking to those kids. You know, when he was in the car all by himself and it was dark and the kids was outside with the soccer. I think he was high as hell, and I think that's going to come out, because he was acting too shifty at that point in time.
I wanna play too. Since when have you ever wanted to play a kickabout with anybody? You couldn't care less.
Yeah, he was acting too strange during that situation. So listen, I felt sympathy for Laurel until so Jay tells Laurel that in order to keep her house, now this is before, you know, the reveal that he was the one who stole the money, because Laurel was like, I'm going to the popos. So Jay tells Laurel that he has told Priya and Rishi that he's selling his nice mansion, which I was tripping, because I'd be like, why don't they just go move into the mansion? That's fine, right? But he tells Laurel that he has said that he's going to sell his house so that Laurel can keep that crappy-ass shrine to her dead, homeless, evil ex. Yeah, I remember. I ain't Satan Ashley. He trashed. He beat his daddy. I ain't forgot. So Jay tells Laurel that basically he's going to oust Priya and Rishi from his home so that she could keep her home. And girlfriend's like, good. They can move out. I was like, what? So I felt sorry for her until that point. When Laurel was willing to see Priya and Rishi homeless so she could keep that dumbass shrine to Ashley, I was like, oh, okay, well then when Jay tells you that he done stole all your money, you deserve it, because that's shady. And I think that's kind of out of character for Laurel. Laurel would have been like, Jay, how could you do that to your family? But that's not how Emmerdale wrote her. They wrote her to be like, yeah, it's fine. Okay, well, they just need to move out. And I'm sitting there watching like, what are they doing to Laurel? Is she drinking again? Because that's a drunk Laurel thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't care. So Jay's shady. And the way he disrespected his love for Laurel by getting that loan, disrespected his father and sister by just saying he was going to up and sell their home, disrespected Bernice by, you know, taking up the idea of maybe making her homeless instead of his own family, all because he got into a jam at this business that he, you know, needed to get out of. Like, it's trash. Like, he probably could have talked to Laurel, Priya, and Rishi, and they could have helped him with some of the money. I'm sure he would have had some money on his own. But, you know, we're a soap, so we're going to do the stupid thing and just destroy our relationship because I'm just going to take out a loan secretly. Like, your other half is just not going to know that there's a $50,000 loan out in their name. What? Insane. Insane. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Waste of time. That's also on my what the hell list. And, you know, I hate Annoying Jay. I am not here for the return of Annoying Jay. And I need it over. I don't care. Just, Mina could have taken Jay out.
Right? I wouldn't have been against that.
Yeah, man. We didn't get any deaths all week. You know, we could have had Mina take Jay out, and then Priya and Liam could have pushed Mina off the bridge together to get revenge for Jay and Leanna, and then Mina could have died, and that would have been a perfect week. That's Earth 2 Emmerdale.
True.
Jesus Christ. Did you have any others for the Emmerdales?
I think you're going to love this because it involves my favorite person in the entire show. Mm-hmm. We have Kane Dingle. And we have Al the douchebag. And they just won't stop with each other to the point where Al was, you know, trying to get at Kane by giving his, you know, 10-year-old son a phone. Because, you know, what child doesn't have a phone? And truth be told, I can understand his sentiment. My brother had a phone when he was 10 and his eyes were never off the dang thing. But it's just like, Kane just went off and freaked the heck out and, like, hit a wall. And Kyle walks out and pretty much screams at him. And then he walks home. And Carrie, and I'm just like, dude, Kane, why you do that? Yeah. He got redeemed in the end in a very humorous manner, which is one of my scenes of the week. But the reaction that he had toward the initial, why are you letting that man stay in your house? He's not setting 2 foot away from Kyle, blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, dude, Al can leave my show. Ellis could have stayed. I mean, I don't like Ellis. I never liked Ellis from the second he stepped foot on my screen as this new guy. I really couldn't have cared less. But I hate Al more. So it's just like everything Al has to, everything that those two do to rile each other up makes me mad, because you're just sitting there and you're watching Kane try to be calm. He's trying to be cool. He's trying to be collected. And then Al comes in and says something to make him mad. And he does something stupid that scares his kid or scares Amy or whatever the case may be. And then he locks himself in the living room for an entire day and drinks with his sister, which I'll talk more about that later too.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, Al can leave. Al has ruined the Dingles for me for the most part. Now, the second he leaves and they can get themselves back on track, I'm all for it.
Yeah, Al is trash. And, of course, Kane is right to be frustrated by his presence in the family life. I mean, this mofo has blown up the pub.
Yep.
And he is manipulating a child to get mm-hmm. at a grown man, right? Because yep. he's upset that Kane's antics messed up the auction plans that he had for the pub, you know? Mm-hmm. And I get the what the hell of it. I appreciate the nod to Kane is like Shadrach, so I will allow that, just like Patricking of Kane, because the way they did it was more rational. Like, I get it.
Yeah. But
it was definitely, what the hell are you doing, Kane? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you a little bit more smarter when it comes to this guy? Because you know he's just steadily going to push your buttons. But yeah, the way all that played out, I see the what the hell, and I see the scene of the week of it, and I can't wait for you to talk about it, because I'm going to co-sign it. I am definitely going to co-sign that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I only have a few more what the hells. Let's wrap up my Mina what the hells first. So first thing was, initially, you know, Manpreet told the police that Mina confessed to killing all those people. And initially, the police weren't trying to let Liv go. Manpreet said while she was held hostage, her sister admitted to the murders, and the cops are like, so let Liv stay in prison and get her behind beat. And I was just like, what? Now, quickly, Emmerdale made sure that there was some evidence the police got so Liv could get released, which is great. But I was just like, oh my God, the injustice of this system. So that, I was really what the helling on that. That got on my goddamn nerves. I was also kind of what the helling at Vinny wanting to plant evidence against Mina to set Liv free. But I understood his hustle because his girl had been locked up for too long. Those police were acting like idiots, which we should have been aware was only a setup for how stupid they were going to be once Mina actually came back on the damn screen. Yeah, I did not want him to do the most. And fortunately, Emmerdale, they had a little bit, enough of the truth come out so that Liv could get released and people could start groveling at her feet for acting like she was a killer when they all should have known better, like Vinny. So I appreciated that. I guess since we're talking about Liv and Vinny, let's go to, I kind of thought the marriage proposal on Valentine's was a what the hell, because Liv was running hot and cold as hell. Like, she was not here for Valentine's Day. She was not here for Vinny doing anything nice for her. And, you know, honestly, Vinny had been hot and cold with her as well during some of the alcoholic stuff. He was in her corner. He was out of her corner. He was cool with her. He was saying she was the worst person in the world. So I was kind of shocked that, you know, after Liv's hot and coldness and Vinny's hot and coldness, Vinny, you know, set up this cute little romantic date. He has this jewelry for her in a box. He's on a knee or on a couch looking like he's on a knee. And he's like, Liv, I've got this thing I want to give to you. And then he opens up the box and it's some earrings. And Liv, who is Miss Anti-Valentine's Day, Anti-Romance, is disappointed. Huh? Girl, pick one. You can't be Anti-Valentine's Day then mad because your man ain't trying to propose to you with a ring. I thought you ain't want love, girl. I was like, make up your goddamn mind. What are you doing? How are you mad over earrings? You said you didn't want any of this, you know? So anyway, I just thought in the moment that was some what the hell foolishness. I was like, sis, what you doing? What you doing, sis? You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I guess I will, you know, slide into the what the hell, to the scene of the week since we've already, you know, started the show with it. I do think that the eventual wedding was cute, and I think it was the scene of the week. You know, I like young love, you know, and even though, you know, on this soap, I realize this is probably not going to end well because they jumped in.
Oh, yeah.
They're young. There's a lot they didn't discuss. Their families don't know. They've been hot and cold with each other for months. And they've got a lot of, there's a lot of big stuff that they've been dealing with in their lives. Family leaving, arrest, attempted murder, alcoholism. And they are just going all in, right? I know, realize it's probably not going to end well, but the cuteness of it and those two like supporting each other and the comedy of them keeping it secret because Mandy is a trip and Chaz is a trip and they don't have time for the drama and they just want to live in the love. Like, I loved that part of it, you know, even though Liv was acting like she ain't want no Valentine's. But I tell you what, she sure got in the spirit of things real quick, didn't she, walking down the aisle?
Oh, yeah. Big old grin on her face. You know. Big and all nice. Cute little wedding dress. Yeah, she went all out.
I'm like, what happened to Anti-Valentine's, girl? Because you sure was ready for that ring, to see that ring in that box and to walk down the aisle. Thought you ain't want no love, girl.
Yeah, it's like, and considering a few years ago when she didn't know what she wanted, if she wanted anything, this is quite the nice change for her, you know?
And honestly, I don't know if she knows what she wants, but I'm here for the ride. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, because she's gone through a lot recently. And so has
Vinny. Oh, yeah.
So has Vinny. So I'm very interested in seeing where that story goes. Because all the parties involved I like. And I think there's going to be some interesting story that comes out of it. And I'm here for it. You know?
Yep.
I really am. All right. So two more quick ones. Let's do the most recent first. Chloe is trash.
Yep.
Chloe is trash. Jacob is also trash. I'm going to throw him there as well. Because Jacob just needs to stop having sex. Because this boy does not make a wise sexual decision. First, he's going back and forth, I think, between rapidly aged Bernice's daughter and Leanne. I think he's sleeping with them at the same time and then can't commit to anyone. Then he's having sex with Liam's ex-wife, who is 300 years old to his 3 years old. And now he's grieving the loss of his girlfriend, question mark?
Because,
we didn't see all that much of him and Leanne. I mean, they were just brought together when the show needed them to seem like they were a couple. But now he's sleeping with Chloe. But, you know, of course, it's not a mature thing where he has said, hey, Chloe, I'm interested in sleeping with you, but I want it to be a one-time thing. Are you cool with that? No. It's the immature, let's have sex and then act awkward the next day. And let's have sex with this girl who I know my friend is into. Like, trash. And then Chloe, the reason I started with she's trash is Chloe has known Noah has been into her. Chloe has also been into Noah. They have had this Romeo and Juliet thing where her dad, whoever the hell he is, and Charity want them apart, and they're going to come together and be together no matter what. I'm thinking Noah finally has a love interest that might be interested. But then, in 2 seconds, she horny for Jacob, and just like, Noah, who? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And so I really wasn't even mad at Noah, because at this point, this show for like the past year has been trying to put Noah, like treat Noah like he's some QAnon incel dude. Because every time like he looks at a girl, they act like he's a sexual predator. Now he's actually got a girl who's interested in him. She immediately cheats on him and then goes to his house to supposedly make up with him, but then treats him like crap. And so Chloe gets mad that she's called a slag. And then Noah, because he's a dumb boy, he goes back to the house and tries to apologize when really his mama should have made sure that, you know, he had his gangster on and he wasn't going back to a girl that, you know, was so disrespected him so much that she just cheated on him and treated him like crap in his own house. But Noah is just unhinged. He loves this girl. He hates this girl. And I get it. But I don't know why they're doing this to his character, right? I don't know what they're doing. But I need Noah to have a quality love interest. That ain't Chloe. I need Noah to have a good friend. That ain't Jacob. I see potential in an Amelia, Noah, Samson triangle. Now, I thought Amelia liked Samson. That's where I thought that storyline was going.
I was like, yeah, no, she liked him.
But then
you could tell.
But then Noah, I was like, Noah. Because see, I've always liked Amelia. I've always liked the kid that plays Noah. I have always liked the kid that plays Samson. So that's the story. The young romance between those three, or if Samson's not in it, fine. If it's just Noah and Amelia, I want that love to blossom. Like, I want Noah to see Amelia and to see someone that's genuinely interested in her and for him to have a mature love story. Or Samson to see Amelia and them to have a story together. But I need somebody else for Noah, right? But it ain't Chloe.
Yeah.
Because you're trash, just like Jacob.
Absolutely not. I saw her the minute she popped on the screen, and I knew, like, the second she popped on that, you know, it probably wasn't going to end well for anybody involved with her, except for maybe Carrie. But that's beside the point, because nobody likes Carrie. But I mean, like, I'm just sitting there and I'm watching this girl just, you know, just say, hey, I'm going to hang out with Jacob today. And you see Jacob once every, 3 months or so? And then now that you see him the once, you just decide, hey, or he just decides, hey, I don't want to be alone today, and my dad's gone. Come on in and stay over. Okay.
Hmm.
I'm just like, dude, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like her either. I haven't liked her since the minute she walked on screen and made friends with Sarah. So there you go.
Yeah, she had me fooled, but I'm over her now. She can go. Mina can take her next. Mina can escape from prison, take her out.
Oh, don't say that and get thrown back in for escaping and murdering again.
I want Mina to escape from prison, her to take, she can take, Chloe out, Jacob out, and then Priya. Oh, and Jay out. Jay as well.
Then, I was like, don't say Priya.
And then no. And then Priya, who's going to be walking around the village hungry, right? Because she's hungry. She will have seen one of the murders. And she will be like, hangry. And then so she could kill Mina.
Oh, my God.
And then she'll get off because she had temporary insanity because she was hungry.
I haven't eaten anything in 2 weeks.
You know, it happens.
No nutrients in my body. I'm hungry.
It's hunger rage. It's hangry.
You need a Snickers.
Jesus Christ. I couldn't find a Snickers, but I killed Mina and that was satisfying.
talk about satisfying. Yes. Oh, Lord.
I have one final what the hell. And that is Charity accusing surprisingly sweet and charming Mac of turning Ryan against her. And what was the problem? Ryan finds out that his adoptive mother has died.
Yep.
He can't talk to Charity about it because Charity is too involved in her drama with making Mac jealous and dealing with Vanessa. And every time Ryan goes to talk to her, she's got other things to do. But Mac is there. And Mac is relating to Ryan. And Mac is remembering the death of his own mother. And he is being a star and supportive to Ryan. And Mac is trying to be the intermediary, letting Charity know, hey, you need to talk with your son. You really need to talk with your son. I'm not worrying about Vanessa, but that to the side. You need to talk to your son. And Charity is not listening until it finally comes out. Oh, Ryan is sad because his mother died and you ain't been paying no goddamn attention.
Yep.
And is Charity grateful for Mac's presence in Ryan's life? No.
Absolutely.
She keeps trying to sidelight him and push him away and accuse him of turning Ryan against her when the reality is she was turning her own son against her by not paying him any mind. So I was like, yeah, no ma'am, Charity. That is all on you. So it was really sweet that he turned around and gave her that inheritance money to buy the pub. And I thought that was an interesting twist. I had a quick thought that maybe that might happen, and then I forgot that it was my thought. And so when it actually did happen, I'm like, I'm here for it. Cool. But I wasn't feeling the way Charity was really towards Ryan or towards Mac, because she wasn't listening to Mac, and I really didn't feel like she was listening to Ryan for the most part, and that was annoying me. So, what did you think of that story when it played out?
You see, my thing is everything that didn't include Charity in that storyline was my scene of the week. We're gonna jump into that, I think, because, you know, at first, I didn't particularly care for Mac. I thought he was cute. I thought his accent was cute. I love Scottish accent. I think it's the most adorable thing in the world. But at first I didn't like him because you knew that he was like a, he moved around, stolen stuff. And then he got with Charity and my brain was just like, I can almost see this working out okay. Mm-hmm. And then once, you know, he became, I didn't watch all the bits when he became really close with Ryan and stuff. But I mean, like, now that, you know, they're relating to each other because, you know, Matt told Ryan about how he hid from Moira that their mother died and he didn't want her to know what was going on because he was there and he didn't want her to, you know, feel anything or, you know, not exactly, you know, feel anything, but, you know about it right off and everything. And it's just like watching him actually relate to Ryan as much as he did was probably one of the nicest things we've seen on there. And the 99% stupidity that we saw in this bunch of episodes, I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. I thought that they have a really good dynamic with each other. And, you know, I kind of want to see how they work together in the pub business, I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. See how it goes. See if they'll, you know, murder each other or their friendship will stay the same.
Yeah,
I thought... You're going to be Chaz and Terry.
I thought Ross and Ryan had a really good connection. So mm-hmm. I am kind of shocked that Ryan and... Mac have a solid connection because, you know, the actor that played Ross, like, he's dynamic. He was great with everybody. But there was mm-hmm. there was a particularly good connection between him and Ryan. And we hadn't seen that with him, Ryan, and anybody else on the show. But him and Mac, man, they've got that. They've got that connect. And it's really good. Like, they play very well off each other. And I love that dynamic between them. So, yeah, I felt exactly like you did with regards to Mac. But, yeah, he's been good with Ryan. His pairing with Charity is good. And honestly, I'm kind of glad that him and Charity are giving it a go instead of Charity and Vanessa. Because with Vanessa, mm-hmm. like, I do like the pairing for what it is. But I feel like Vanessa's too good for Charity. Like, she's mm-hmm. a good person. And I feel like it's kind of like a Ben Mitchell and Callum kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
she's always going to be the good person to Charity's devil. Charity needs somebody who's, like, just as, you know,
just
shady
as screwed up as she is.
Right. And I see that in Mac. But I can see them both working together to build, to bring positive stuff out of each other. And I'm interested in seeing that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm feeling it. Yes. What other scenes of the week do you have, man?
Kane the Quail Man. Oh, my God. That was the best thing ever. Kyle is, like, the cutest child I have ever seen in my life because he has the brain power to con Kane into doing just about anything for anything he wants. I'll wash cars for you for $20 or for $20, or and he negotiates with him. I'm like, this child is 7, and he's negotiating money out of Kane like he's a 30-year-old man. And then you have him saying, "I will hang out today if you play dress up with me." So he gets him all dressed up with this pink cape and this blue flipping mask on and pink underpants over his jeans. And he's like, "We're going to go to the store and buy sweets." And he's like, "Okay, let's go." And Amy's just sitting there laughing. And they go to the store. And David's like, "Do you mind?" And Kyle's like, "Can you get a picture of us, please?" and Kane's is what happened, and a 7-year got you again. I loved that. I thought that was cute. I thought that was a nice way to get Kyle back on side after, you know, his little beat down of the furnace, whatever he hit. And freaked Kyle out. I think it was a nice little thing to bring them together. Because he did say, in his defense, we could do whatever you want. And the first thing that popped into his head was, we're going to dress up as superheroes, Wonder Pants over our pants, like Quail Man from Doug back in the cartoon times of Nickelodeon, back when they were good. And it was a nice little interaction. And I enjoyed it. And I liked everyone involved. It even made Amy likable a little bit. It was nice.
Yeah. I will stand up for Mr. Kyle Winchester. I did not realize he was of supernatural fame. So
I know, right?
He is not seven, ma'am. He was born December 1st, 2011. So he is 10 years old. Thank you very much. Do not de-age.
Oh, no. I mis-aged. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the other one.
He is almost a grown man. He is almost a grown man. Don't you do him
I was thinking. I was thinking of Dawn. I was thinking of Dawn's son, not of him. I apologize. Yes.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Yeah, I like Kyle. I didn't like him being manipulated, but yeah, the relationship between Kyle and Kane is great, especially since we know when that storyline started, Kane wanted nothing to do with that boy. So
Not until he saved him.
It is so great how things have turned around since then, because yeah, it's been fantastic. And I love the little kid, his name, I just looked him up on the wiki. He is Huey Quinn, and he has been in that role since 2013. So we have seen the same little boy growing up all that time. All right, darling, is that all of your scenes of the week?
I have one more, and I think you're gonna co-sign with it. It's another Kane one. Mm-hmm. The locked in the living room when Chaz breaks in through the window and just drinks with him and talks stuff out with him, and then they opened the door and everything's all good and happy again. It was right before he dressed up as Quail Man and made his way around town dressed up as a superhero. But I mean, like, that conversation that he and Chaz had locked up at the living room, I mean, yes, they were both drunk off their backsides, but I think they both, you know, had their things that needed to be said, and the stuff was said, and they both realized that they did wrong, or he realized that he did wrong and decided he was going to go and change it. And I thought that was really good, a nice, really good conversation. And Chaz was just like, you realize that you kept me safe, and I've told you this before, because we've seen that conversation before. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah. It was a beautifully done scene. You have Moira sitting there trying to beat on the door in the beginning, and he's like, I'm not opening the door for anybody. Go away. And then Jazz is just like, you might want to pay for a new lock for the window, because I just jammed it, and I think I broke it. So, yeah, good luck. You might want to fix that before you get cold.
Jazz was going to talk to her brother.
Oh yeah, it was needed, and those two both had you know, a heck of a, you know, past few months. Yes. So it was nice to see them chat it out and get some of the air, you know, out of the way, and get some of that bad blood out of there, just talking stuff out, because it was necessary. And now Chaz is smiling and laughing again. And that's mostly because of, you know, Liv and Vinny. But it's nice to see her doing something that isn't moping around in the upstairs of Aaron's old house, having a little sob with her child while, you know, everybody else is trying to have a life.
Yes.
Even Marlon's trying to have a life now, and it's kind of sort of working for him. So you're just kind of, you know, seeing Chaz just kind of moping around a lot. And it's just like, okay, no more. This chat needs to happen. And then the next thing you know, she's breaking through the window instead of beating on the door. And it was nice.
I'm going to steer your Cain scene of the week into my Cain-related scene of the week, and that is Cain talking to Liam and helping Liam snap out of his
spunk.
His hero of the week worthy funk, right? Because Liam was all sad because he pushed Mina, and so now he's the worst person in the world, even though she's a serial killer and she killed her daughter. And so he's on the allotments sleeping there all night because he's feeling sad. And Cain is in the coffee shop overhearing what happened with Mina, and that Liam's been gone all night, and he's probably upset by what happened with Mina and thinking about his daughter. And so Cain goes to the allotments and hangs with his new bro. And just like, you know what? I could use some coffee, and I could use somebody helping me dig. What do you mean you know what I'm doing? Yeah, it's digging. You know, I put the shovel in the ground, I take the dirt, throw it to the side. You know what I'm saying? And Liam uses that space to reveal to Cain the truth. I push Mina on purpose. And Cain's like, fist pound, great, and move on with your life.
Yep, you did it. You told the police something different. It has anything changed? No? Good.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Exactly. And I think Liam needed that perspective, you know. And I thought how it all came out was good, because Liam asked Cain, you know, what's the worst thing you've ever done? And Cain said, you know, it probably had to do with something like not being there for my kids. And Liam felt like he could relate to that, because he didn't feel like he was there for his daughter the way he needed to be to prevent her murder. You know? And still, he felt guilt for what he did to this psychopath that harmed so many people. And I think Cain's presence, this friendship, that conversation, helped Liam to snap out of it a little bit. And that was needed. Because I hate storylines where a character has been wronged, and then they get some kind of revenge for that wrong, and then the story is about them feeling guilty when they shouldn't feel guilty. Because honestly, Mina is horrible. She gets what she gets. I don't care if the whole town conspired to kill her like they did Freddy Krueger on Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, she deserves what she gets, you know? And so I just appreciated Cain lifting Liam from that funk in the same way that Liam, talking sense to Priya, lifted her out of that funk that saw her blaming
Manpreet for everything.
You. Yes. When Mina wasn't around to take the blame. Because Priya was in the wrong for that. And I hated that, you know? But Liam talked to her about understanding that misplaced anger, and that helped Priya to see, oh, wait, I am directing this in the wrong way. And it was fantastic. So those two scenes, Cain supporting Liam, and then Liam talking sense to Priya, both of those were two of my scenes of the week. Also, I'm going to give some more love to Mac, because Mac was just doing the most in trying to make Charity jealous, because, you know, he decided, oh, Charity just going to drop me for Vanessa, so I guess I'm going to have to kiss Dawn.
Get drunk enough to the universe and then kiss Dawn the week after he proposed.
And Billy was not having it. Billy was ready to tear a strip out of Mac. So Billy sees Mac, and Mac is just like, I know, I'm sorry, man. It was the wrong thing to do. I kissed her because I was envious of what you had with her, and I'm so sorry, and I know I'm the worst person in the world, but listen, I will make it up to you, and, you know, whatever you want to do to me, I understand, but I know I'm the worst person in the world. I'm so sorry. And Billy's like, oh, well, I guess there's nothing left for me to say. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, and I mean, great. Like, he kind of did in the end when he got his backside drunk and, you know, stood outside while, or taking a pee while Dawn's freaking out, and then he comes in and starts searching the house with her and making sure nobody's there and stuff. I was just like, that's kind of cute and helpful and, you know, kind of nice. And, you know, she's not alone. I mean, yes, it's Mac, but she's not alone in the house.
And see, that was a good moment as well. There has been a huge redemption of Mac in these recent episodes, and it's all been written fantastically. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that Mac just owned his shit and was honest with how he was feeling. Like, it's been fantastic. So I'm loving this entire redemption arc for Mac, including how he just came clean to Billy. Like, I thought it was fantastic. So, yeah, I am loving Charming Mac, and I think he needs to stay, because it's just, it's been excellent. It has
I just need him to stay.
I'm here for it.
He's young Kane for me.
I'm here for it.
I mean, like, at the beginning, like I said, I didn't like him. And then he just started, you know, being cute and, you know, helpful and friendly and getting to know people in a not bad way and the having to do with stealing stuff. I just love how they're redeeming him the best that, you know, they can.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't do something stupid with him, because I think, you know, at first I thought they were going to be doing that exactly. They're going to start him off as a stupid character. And then he's going to stay a stupid character, like some other characters that we've spoken of on length.
Yes. Well, we've seen enough of him being stupid, so I'm just going to celebrate his goodness. I think that's fantastic. I've got two more quick scenes of the week, and then I am all done. So my second to last scene of the week involves Samson. So yes. I think Emmerdale is doing something interesting with Samson, where they're having him excel working in the salon with Mandy and Bernice. I think it's cool and it's gender-defying, just like David working in the salon on Coronation Street.
Yeah, David being the hairdresser, he's the one who can do makeup and hair. I think that's cute.
And I appreciated the moment where Sam is, you know, definitely expressing some skepticism, you know, not fully by words, but just, you know, you can tell that
it was a facial expression.
You could tell that Sam was not pleased with Samson working in the salon, and that shook Samson a little bit, right? But mm-hmm. I think that was Vinny that came and talked to him and was just like, listen, man, do your thing. If that's what you enjoy doing, do it. And don't be ashamed of it. Like, that's great for you to be, you know, talented at what you do. And he's great at what he does, you know, because what was mm-hmm. the story? Amelia needed a makeover. She went to Mandy for it. Mandy ruined it. But
Mandy made her look like her.
Samson comes in. He makes the girl look beautiful, just gorgeous. And I think that's fantastic. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, regardless, you know, if you're a guy, it's like, you know, the thing, you know, all guys shouldn't be nurses, guys shouldn't be hairdressers, whatever. This is 2022.
I'm like, I know more male nurses than I know female nurses.
Listen, if you have the love for the work and the passion for it and you do a good job, you should do it. So I love that that's the message that Emmerdale is sending with Samson, and I need to see more of it because I think it's fantastic what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last scene of the week I'm going to give to a brand new character. That is Pierce's son, Marcus. I like the actor. I'm surprised. I did not know he was going to be a gay character. I'm here for that. I am not here for Ethan being totally unprofessional and hitting on a client. I mean, he's there to talk about, you know, his dad passing the will and, yeah, Ethan's trying to get some ridiculous. But anyway, I appreciate Marcus calling Rona on her BS, because mm-hmm. what's the problem in this whole Pierce, Marcus, Rona storyline? Pierce contacts Rona, wants her to connect him with the son. She's doing it secretly, and she has not told Marlon. What's the problem? Rona is not being honest with Marlon. And so what's she doing? She's doing everything in her power to make sure that Marcus and Marlon do not find out about that Pierce connection, instead of just being a grown woman and being honest. And so Marcus recognizes that Rona is interfering with his love life because he likes, you know, black lawyer too. You know what I'm saying? And he finds out that Rona is trying to interfere with that, which she did make a good point. That is totally unprofessional. But it also was not her place, and she should be honest. And so Marcus just laid it out. He's like, look, I have jumped through all your hoops. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm going to do what I want. And I'm not going to continue to live my life based on your whims. If you want to solve this entire situation, here's the solution. Tell Marlon.
Talk to your boyfriend.
Boom. 100%. You know, so I don't know exactly what Emmerdale plans to do with this Marcus character. I'm interested in the way it started so far. He's an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I appreciated him calling Rona out because she needed to hear it. And I'm interested in seeing where it goes from here, because it may end up in, I don't know where it's going to end up, but I hope it's somewhere good, you know. What are your first impressions of him?
You see, at first I was kind of iffy because he just, like, popped out, you know, that whole storyline just popped out of nowhere just to, you know, be there. And I was just like, oh, hey, Rona got a letter. And then it's like, oh, it's from Pierce. And Vanessa, being Vanessa, is just like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. Vanessa, since she's been back, needs a bop in the nose. It's what she needs. But I'm just, like, sitting there, and I'm like, oh, hey, you know, rapist slash kidnapper slash murderer slash everything has gotten in touch. What happened? Oh, he's dying, and he has a son? Oh, what a shock, considering he said he never wanted children in the first place. And, you know, it's just like, okay, then. He has a son, and then you see him for the first time, and because, you know, Vanessa can't keep her nose out of other people's business since she's been back at all, she's just like, oh, I'm going to pretend to be No, you do not pretend to be somebody else just to keep them away. And then, you know, they talked, and they had their moments, and I thought it was cute for, you know, what it was, and them explaining each other's, you know, experiences or lack thereof with said person. And then he died, and then I was like, okay, he's not coming back again. And then the next thing you know, he's back, and Rona's just like, oh no, he's back again. And I'm just like, no, you're gonna ruin Rona for me. I mean, Rona's never been a favorite character of mine in the first place, but it's just like, whenever somebody involved with somebody that she doesn't want to be involved with comes around, she turns even more stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's just not okay. So I'm kind of curious to see where it goes as well. And I kind of hope it goes with him and Ethan, because like you said, you know, in our Discord chat earlier, there hasn't been a good viable, you know, gay couple since Ben and Aaron, and that lasted all of 3 seconds. So it's just like, I wouldn't be against seeing where that goes, but I'm kind of in the not holding my breath just yet mode, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of digging the character so far. He's been kind of meaningful for, you know, the 2 weeks he's been on. He's had his reasons. To be honest, though, I kind of hope he's the one to tell Marlon who he is, because Rona won't do it. And just to see how that turns out and see how explosive it gets. Because if it ends up being like Jay and Laurel, that could be fun.
Yeah, I don't see Marlon reacting that strongly. I mean, it's Marlon, not Kane. You know what I'm saying? So I know Marlon does have his moments.
Just remembered how he acted when she was with Graham and everything like that. He was not... He was very Kane-esque during Graham time.
But this is a little bit different, because she was assaulted by that man, you know? So he hopefully they won't make him too over the top. You know, and kind of make an understanding. Although I don't know what they're going to do with that. Because it's like the same way. It's like, you know, we've got Charles in Mina's face, you know, thinking she's some angel that needs to be saved. Like, he forgot that she murdered the love, one of the women that he loved. So, yeah, I don't know where they're going with it. But,
yeah. Yeah,
I also like Marcus, and it would be interesting to see him and Ethan have something lasting, because Emmerdale has been pretty bad about having more than one gay couple at a time on the show, because, you know, all that time Finn was on the show, he did not get a long-term love interest at all. He slept with Aaron once. He had that nice little, I think, HIV-positive guy. They went on a couple dates. But, you know, these soaps, for some shows, they seem like limit romance to only one gay couple at a time. Meanwhile, 50 straight couples can all have romances. So, you know, perhaps mm-hmm. we can get Marcus and Ethan to have a little something, you know, and flesh out Marcus's character a little bit more. And
yeah. I hope,
you know, he ends up not being a creep, because, you know, we don't need any more creeps. We got enough. Mina's enough for right now.
Yeah, it's like, let's get Mina down from murder, kidnapping, attempted murder, endangerment,
yes.
entrapment, assault on a police officer.
And breathe. Yes. And let's get some love going for Ethan and Marcus on the show. Yes.
Yes. It's necessary.
So with that, I will say that I'm at Brother Soap.
And I'm at Lindsay Amanda.
Thank you all so much for listening. Until next time, get vaxxed, wear a mask, don't let COVID kick your ass, and that's it. Bye.
Bye, y'all.